Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, Lord's been busy. How about yourself? Everybody been busy this week? Lord's working everybody's life as usual. Amen. He's faithful, isn't he? Huh? Awesome. Yes. Awesome God. Ephesians 3, and it's verse 14 through, right to the end, 21. Okay. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the family, whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Just bow ahead and join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just in awesome in your presence, Father God. Help us continually to be humble before King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing. We need that. We need to. I know you're faithful, Father God, to help keep that in our spirit, that as we walk along in these trials and these tribulations, you come alongside of us like a brother and a friend. That's what we need. We need to reassure, even though we've heard it, those promises, you won't forsake us or leave us at all alone. We need to be willing to ask. I know some of us still, you know, this is reality. Things happen like this. So if we can temper that more toward looking in for you, Father God, in every situation, starting out in prayer before we start out in the morning, be diligent and then do a due diligence in reading the word in prayer on a daily basis. Now, a lot of things are going to happen. It's just asking you to receive. So if you're looking to share the gospel, it's those, as we know, we're a dying world out there, a lot of evil going on, a lot of corruption. But the thing is, too, still, there's a lot of hurting people, Father. You know that. That's why you're sending us, is to send us, send me, send whoever. Those type of things, that's what you've been using. We get that singular into each one of us or as a body, and we go about the Father's business, and it's for his glory. You know, it's the army that we continue to build, the army of God. And, you know, this army will continue to extend out. We're growing here. We've got some new people here. We welcome you. I know the Lord welcomes each and every one that's here for the first time. Be open to receive the Lord and Savior today. Today's the day of salvation. So we're blessed. We're very blessed from who God has put here this day. Father God, there's the reason why we're here is to continue to grow. We're being diligent in what we're doing. There's a lot of teaching going on, a lot of time that as we're spending it by ourselves, make it work. Help, you know, work with the Lord. Be in his word. Communicate to him. He already knows a lot of times. He says his ways aren't ours. And it's true. But you know, as you read the word, let him communicate to our hearts. Those need to change. And if it's a hardened heart, we need to repent. We need to turn from that wicked way. The Lord is a forgiving God. He's a loving God, but love covers a multitude of sin. You know, the mercies are new this morning. So we go from here, and we go out to those highways and byways that you've directed us to. If that is the case, if we have people in, and I know we get holidays coming up, which is always good around the table to share, even if we get busy eating, but we might share, and hey, all of a sudden, ears and hearts open up to what's being said, or the prayer at the very beginning of that meal. And we all should be about that business to receive today. He's got a lot of things going on. I know in our pastor, Pastor Matt Wuerl, his mind, his heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like rivers of living water. Receive, you know, what we need to receive from it. And then it's up to us. No one's twisting arms, but he says, you know, we need to be about the Father's business. If those opportunities come, trust in him and believe in him. He will give you the words to say. All we ask to do is step out in faith. And we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom
a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than in the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it was, but it has happened to them according to the true Proverbs, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's obvious from the scriptures that Peter is carrying a heavy burden for the church. A burden for the church to stay true to God's word. A burden for the church because there were false prophets and false teachers that were coming in. That they were apostates. They were dwelling even within the church. But I love what he says in verse 9. A couple of verses before we started, he says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Hallelujah. Are you glad of that this morning? Yeah. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. What depicts a godly person? A person who is not living perfect, because you can't, but a person who has opened their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's a person that doesn't have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's not somebody who has religious tones in their life, but someone who has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That you can say, he is my Lord, he is my God. Yeah. I fellowship with him on a regular basis. I learn about him and through his word. I have that depth of knowledge of him. And I don't ever want to go stray from that. That's a godly person. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. You know there's going to be a day of judgment. That day is coming. And it's going to be a difficult day for a lot of people. It's going to be a difficult day for some people who don't think they're going to fall into that judgment, because they have that form of godliness, but they deny the power of God in their life. What does it mean to deny the power of God in your life? But I'm looking at Marshall. Marshall's going like, oh no, he's come walking at me. What's he going to do? No, I'm not. A godly, now I lost track of what I was saying. What does it mean to, thank you, what does it mean to deny the Lord? What does it mean? It means that you are now in that hopeless place. And that's not a place God wants anybody in. Because, you know, he desires all to be saved. None to perish, but all to come to repentance. Have you come to that place of repentance in your life where you have opened your heart and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you have, God has delivered you out of darkness and placed you in his marvelous light. But there are a lot of people who are dwelling in the darkness of sin, and they think they're walking in the light when they're really not. Because they haven't really turned their heart over and they turned their life over to the Lord. You know you've got to turn your heart over to God.
Yeah.
You know that there's a saying out there that infiltrates the church that is so, so dangerous. It says, follow your heart. Follow your heart. If you follow your heart, boy, I'll tell you, you're in for a lot of trouble.
That's right.
My heart, the scripture says, is deceitfully wicked. And it needs to be made new by the Lord. But I don't need to follow my heart. I need to follow the Lord. I need to follow his ways. I need to follow his word as written. Verse 12, but these like natural brute beasts. Who is he talking about? But he's talking about those that are bringing in destructive doctrines into the church. But these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. They're setting up their own fall. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness. What is the wages of unrighteousness?
Death.
It's eternal damnation. It's being condemned to hell, where no man should be or no woman should be condemned to. It wasn't made for unrighteous people. It was made for demons and Satan, you know, and his fallen angels. But those who refuse Jesus, you know, what did Jesus do on the cross?
Died.
Yeah, he died. But what did he do?
Took our sins.
He what?
Took our sins away.
He took your sins away. He paid a price on this cross. I keep going here. I could think about this one over here. We got a big one now. He paid a price on that cross. He paid the price for your sins, a price you can't pay. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is you're receiving the payment that was paid over 2,000 years ago for your sin. When you refuse Jesus, when you hold Jesus at arm's length, what you are saying, thank you, Lord, for paying the price for my sins, but I'll pay them myself. Because that's what you're saying. There's not many other ways to God. There's one way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. You either receive him and you receive eternal life. If you reject him, you've rejected that life. You have rejected that life. Jesus Christ sends nobody to hell. No pastor sends anybody to hell. No pope sends anybody to hell. Nobody can send you to hell but yourself. And that's by just refusing the work of the cross. That is corruption in its worst form. Verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. These are the ones that carouse in the daytime. They're not even ashamed of what they're doing. They'll do it for all to see. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Peter is talking about how they even feast with you. They will infiltrate the church and be a part of the church. And they do it in easy ways that you wouldn't even realize. You know, there's a book out. It was written in October 2013, as near as I can research it. It's a children's book called The Baptism of Jesus. We're baptizing right now 9 people next Sunday. I'm excited about this. Why are you going to get baptized? Because you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have promised to him that you will walk with him all the days of your life. But this book is called The Baptism of Jesus and is written by Catherine Sully. You can find it on Amazon. I found it on Amazon for, I think it was $12. In that book, and it looks like a beautiful book, a little kid's stories. But there's one thing in there that you got to be careful of. It says when Jesus came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist asked him, you know, why are you here? And Jesus said, these words is written right in it, on the pages. I read it. I'm not going by what somebody else said. I saw somebody said about this, so I researched it, and I went to find the book, and it says this in this. Jesus saying to John the Baptist, I have come to the river today to wash my sins away. Yeah. I have come to the river today to wash my sins away. And it's just one short thing, but if you don't catch it, you miss it. But what is this? It is a simple little, to us it's huge, but it's just one statement that was said that is brought in by the enemy himself to infiltrate the church and begin to compromise the word, and the power of the church, the power of God in the church begins to dissipate when we allow things like this to happen. I'm just pointing this out, and I do recommend you don't buy the book. All right? And I'm glad to see that in the reviews in it, there was like 3 or 4 powerful, great reviews on it, and the rest of them was this person's a heretic. All right, but it's just, I bring it up just to say, you got to be careful. In all aspects of our lives, the enemy tries to come in. Sometimes he comes in a little trickle at a time like that. Sometimes he comes in like a flood. But whenever he does, God does what? He raises up a standard. What is the standard? The standard is the Word of God. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery. This is again these false teachers. Eyes full of adultery. And that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They pick out those that are unstable, those that are weak. What is an unstable soul? Someone who just refuses to be grounded in the Word. If you're just refusing to be grounded in the Word, you may say, oh, I don't refuse that. Okay, maybe you don't. You say you don't. Let me ask you. What's the last thing you read in the Scriptures? When was the last time you read anything in the Scriptures? When have you taken a verse, written it out on a card, and made the purposed expression of ingraining it into your heart, which means you memorize it? Who here loves memorizing? Very few hands. Boy, you guys are nuts. You really love to memorize, right? Well, let me tell you something. I used to say, I can't memorize. My brain doesn't absorb like that. But what I am doing is I am cursing myself. You know, out of the mouth proceeds blessings. Out of the mouth proceeds cursings. You can bless others or you can curse them. You can bless yourself or you can curse yourself. I was cursing myself. I can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. And God reminded me, and it was by one scripture that I hadn't been able to memorize. And guess what that scripture is? You're going to memorize too. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I am. If I'm saying I can't do that, what I am saying is God's word is a lie. That's dangerous. Because I'm nullifying the Word of God, God's power in my life, and I become an unstable soul. I don't want to be an unstable soul. I want to be grounded in the Word of God. Do you want to be grounded in the Word of God? This is what Peter is saying here, Paul. You know, it's a neat candy bar, right? Peter was very clear in mapping all of these things out. And I do want to say, you know, in his day, there were a lot of false teachers. There were a lot of false prophets. And he didn't just go through naming them all. What he did was he gave the instruction on how you can see in your spirit when somebody's wrong, when somebody's missing it, that you will guard yourself from that. You know, fill yourself with God's word. Yes.
There's been something bothering me, and Rick just pointed it out to me. So for a lot of people online, I think they maybe don't understand the sentence in that book. Because you presented the counterfeit, but you did not say the real thing, which was Rick brought up on his phone. What Jesus did say, and why that sentence, the counterfeit, that Jesus said he needed his sins forgiven, the counterfeit, that's counterfeit to the fact that he had no sin. But the people might not understand that. You're assuming that we all know that, and a lot of us do. But there are a lot that maybe don't know why Jesus said.
Okay, so what does your word, what does the word say off your phone?
It says, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.
Correct. All right. I'm hearing you. Jesus said in that book, he's quoted as saying, I have come to the river to wash my sins away. Jesus didn't come to the river to wash his sins away. He had no sin to wash away.
Amen.
What he did do, and it's something I would cover next week too, because we're doing water baptisms next week. what Jesus did say, as we just heard, he said to John, he says, no, let it be so that we fulfill all righteousness. So that's what Jesus was there for, was to fulfill righteousness, not to have his sins washed away. All right, so we understand that now, right? Thank you for the clarity.
It was a prophecy, and that's why he had to fulfill it.
Right, it was prophesied that would happen, right. And he needed to fulfill the prophecy in order to show the prophecy being true, which is a clear example of the prophet who said that was a true prophet, because it did come to pass. All right, enticing unstable souls. Are you an unstable soul this morning? No answer?
In some areas.
Rick says in some areas he's an unstable soul. We all are. Verse 16. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. This is talking about Balaam. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Balaam was a prophet of God, but he was unstable in his ways because he was enticed a lot by various temptations. And then but God raised up a donkey, his own donkey, to speak to him with a man's voice. Let me tell you something. God can use a donkey. I won't use the King James version of that. But he can. Don't ever. If somebody comes to you with the Word of God, and you think that they're like a nobody, a nothing, don't dispel that. Because God may very well be using that person to speak to you directly. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is, again, speaking of the false prophets, the false teachers, and the false doctrines that they bring. These are wells without water. You're not going to get your spiritual thirst quenched through them. They're carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. This is so important to see this. They're not just going out on the street to the people that are not Christians, that have never tasted the Word of God, have never had that experience. They're already doomed to hell if they don't repent, but they come into the church. And those unstable people, they try to lure them away. And how do they do that? They do this, verse 18. They speak with swelling words of emptiness and allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They're trying to even pull you back into the pig slop. They're trying to pull you back into the bondages that you've been delivered from. Have you been delivered out of darkness and placed in his marvelous light? Yes. Say hallelujah. They're trying to bring it back. Satan, just because you got saved, Satan goes, oh boy, I lost that one. I guess I got to go after some more. No, he still wants you back. He still wants you. He still wants to grab a hold of you, and he wants to drag you back into that pit. Don't ever think that he's all done with you, because he's not. The only ones that he's all done with are those who already have washed their hands of Jesus, or they're just sitting in a pile of compromise. Because that's where he wants you to be. All right? In Genesis chapter 19, I need you to see this. Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, I saw something I had never seen before. And I don't know how many times I have read it. But when God sent the angels to Lot and his family to tell them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, at And I'm not going to go through the whole story. There's just one thing I want you to see in verse 26. As these angels that were appeared to them as men told them, you need to get out, you need to get out. And they're actually grabbing them and trying to pull them out of the city. So now they're out of the city and they're leaving. And you look at verse 26. It says, but his wife, which was Lot's wife, looked back behind him and she became a pillar of salt. You see, she looked back behind him. I never saw that before. I always thought that she was looking behind herself, you know, looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, she became a pillar of salt. Why? Because she was desiring back to be back there and not looking forward to where God was bringing them. And that's true. But what it says here is she had to look back behind Lot. This is a picture to me I'm seeing in my spirit, is this, that this man was interceding for his wife and for his family. He's standing in the gap, and she still was trying to look beyond him, past him, back to where they came from, longing to be there. Now, the only way I can really demonstrate this is I need some help. All right? I need a big guy, Rob. And I need four or five other people that would just like to help out. All right? Yeah, come on up. I don't care, man or woman. Doesn't matter. Rob, I want you to stand right in the middle. You guys kind of off to the sides. All right? A couple more people. Yeah, come on over here. Anybody else want to volunteer? Huh? No. Yeah, right. You volunteer him, but you won't volunteer yourself. All right? Now get in close. Okay, now what these people are representing, all right? Rob is representing the Lord, all right? Now, I'm telling you right now, he is not God. No. He is not Jesus, no. All right? He's big, but he ain't that big.
But he's made in his right? image.
And it's well beyond his pay grade, all right? But he's representing that right now, okay? Now, what these are representing, okay, now we're thinking of Lot and his wife. It never says what her name was. Let's just say her name was Judy, you know. But Lot is what he's doing is he is interceding for her and his family, standing between them and the enemy, standing between them and the temptations. So I'm going to play Judy. All right? Judge Judy. No. So, what'd you say?
I said you need more hair for that.
Moving on.
Thank you. Now, these people are representing, I'm representing Judy, or I'm representing somebody in the church. They've just have come out of darkness, have been delivered out of darkness and placed in the marvelous light of God. You know, that's what was happening with Lot's wife and family. And with Lot, they're coming out of that darkness. They're headed towards Jesus, right? They're headed towards their promised land, okay? They're headed to a place of safety, all right? So, but Lot was still that place of intercession for her, but she's looking past him. So you all right now represent the temptations of the world. And I have the beauty of these people here and Jesus Christ himself interceding for me, standing in the gap between me and those temptations that had me by the neck for so long. Those things that I just couldn't beat. And they're interceding for me, all right? They're standing in that. That's what standing in the gap means. You're standing between the temptation and the person who's tempted. So these people are a real blessing to me. And I can't, as a pastor, I can't live without intercessors. Kathy and I couldn't make it. We couldn't make it this far without intercessors. Because what are they doing? I'm just like anybody else. Kathy's like just anybody else. We get tempted. We have the temptations of the world are there. They dangle. You know, Satan dangles it here and dangles it there. So now I see it and I think, and I remember those old days and I go like this. And you know what happens? Intercessor stops me. Jesus stops me. They build this wall between me and there. This is the strength of the body of Christ. This is why we need each other. This is what church is supposed to be. Church isn't come in here and go, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, for a half an hour or so and listen to a Bible sermon and go home and go, well, that was fun. This is what church is. That we intercede for one another. We pray for one another. We stand strong with each other. Because there are times when this lady right here comes in like this. Now, come on in. Don't fight me. All right. She's there, and I get to be an intercessor for her. Now she has got this wall between her and temptation. This is where strength comes in. I'm not just strong in the power of the might of God all by myself. I need you. We need each other. Okay? So now there's a change here that's going to happen. All right, Rob, what I would like you to do is go up there and stand on those two chairs right in front of the cross. And no, I'm not going to go get a hammer. Now, you people, I want you to stand facing this way. Come up here. Now go up there. You guys' role is now changing. All right? What you are now are the temptations of the world. I want you all to see this, okay? And I'm here. You remember this way, the intercessors between me and Jesus. Me and the area that the direction that God has for my life. And they're there to try to build strength into my life, into Kathy's life, you know, because we're one flesh. Now, these aren't the same. They are the same people, but they're representing something totally different now. These are representing the temptations of the world that were luring me before. Now, remember, I've got these intercessors built into my life. Hallelujah! Thank you for whoever you are. But the temptations are very, very real, and sometimes I don't recognize those ones that are surrounding me and praying for me. But the temptations never go away. They're there, and sometimes they seem to be very real. So now I'm put in a position, even though I have these intercessors, I'm put in a position where am I going to look right in the eyes of the temptations, or am I going to look beyond them to the one who paid the price for my temptations and my deliverance? I need to look beyond them. See, that what Lot's wife was doing was she was looking beyond the intercessor. She was looking beyond or past her protector and looking back to the temptations.
The temptations are almost always recognizable.
So, what do I do? Do I muddle with the temptations, or do I break through them to come to Jesus? Because you see, God's given you and he's given me the power to break through. Amen? Did I get my point across with that? Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate your help. All right? In Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, but his wife looked back beyond him, and she became a pillar of salt. I never saw that before. Look beyond him. She looked. That word look is in the Hebrew is labat, and it means to look intently at, by implication to regard with pleasure, favor, and care. So it was not just looking, but she was looking at it with the regards of pleasure, favor, and care. She was an unstable soul. Amen?
Amen.
We go back to 2 Peter. Verse 19. While they promised them liberty, this is the false prophets, the false teachers, they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. There's a contrast here between liberty and corruption. The liberty in the Greek is the word that is described as liberty actually means a freedom defined, right? A freedom defined. It's not a freedom that's just, well, I can do whatever I want to do. It's a defined freedom, which is what liberty is. You understand that? Liberty is simply, we live in a land of liberty, amen? Yeah. Or supposed to be anyways. Yeah. You know, it seems to be changing in the ways that I don't like, you don't like. But the point is that we live in a land of liberty. What does liberty mean? But liberty means freedom with boundaries. All right? We have boundaries set for us by the Word of God. And those boundaries aren't set because we have an old or God that just loves making our life miserable. We have a wonderful Lord and Savior that wants to give us a beautiful, pure, vibrant life. So he sets these boundaries. But it says here, but while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. They themselves are slaves of corruption. And this corruption means a ruinous decay that knows no boundaries. It doesn't know any boundaries. It will decay. It will corrupt. It will destroy anything it possibly can. So the ones that are held in this corruption are the ones who are saying, I'm going to give you liberty. No, they aren't. What they're going to do is suck you right into that corruption again. But he's going after even ones that have been delivered to begin with. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 30. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, who are they? The Sadducees, the Pharisees of the day, the religious leaders of the day. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Really? You've never been in bondage to anyone? What about the Amalekites? What about the Midianites? You know, how about the
Babylonians?
The Babylonians, I mean, there's a whole list. You read the Old Testament, and it seems like half the time Israel was in existence, they were in bondage to somebody. Why? Because of the sin of their land that they would not repent of. And here they are saying, we've been in bondage to nobody. These were religious leaders that were leading people down a pathway of sin. Because, yeah, they upheld the law, but they added to the law, 600 and something different laws that people and forced it on people in order to be righteous. Even Jesus, they got mad at Jesus. When Jesus, your disciples are eating and never even wash their hands, that they're now defiled. He says, that's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, but what comes out of him. That's what defiles a man. Anyways, Jesus answered them and said, verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Are you free this morning?
Yes.
Have you been set free this morning?
Yes.
You don't sound like you're very happy about it.
Yes.
Are you happy this morning that you've been set free by the power of Jesus? Are you glad this morning that Jesus paid that awful price on the cross for you so you don't have to?
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you, I am so happy. I am. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. All right, and Jesus did that for me. But there are those that want to come in and start levying all of these things to weigh you down, to weigh me down. I don't need to be weighed down. I need to be lifted up. Hallelujah. I serve a God that lifts me up, and He empowers me, and He entrusts me, and He loves me, and He won't leave me alone.
Praise God.
There have been times I've said, God, leave me alone. And He said, I won't do that. You see, there's some things we can pray to God that He will not answer. One of those is leave me alone. Because I'll tell you, if He did, I would have gone back long ago to shooting dope. You know? I still, every once in a great while, I think about a time that I stuck a needle in my arm and the rush that came. And there's still that part of me that have yet to be crucified that went, oh, what a rush. And I immediately, oh, yes, it was a death rush. I have to remind myself that it's a death rush. I have to remember I've got intercessors that pray for me. Because I'll tell you, I can fall to temptation like that if it wasn't for the intercessors and the power of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Don't ever think you're a rock. Ever think that you're an island, because you're not.
You're not. No,
you know, whatever you obey, you are a sin. You are a slave of that which you obey. If it is sin, it's to unrighteousness. Or if it is to righteousness, it's being in bondage to God. It's being serving God. I am a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I am so glad of that. Praise God. I still got one more thing I need to share with you, though. All right, back. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ, all right, if they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they have been delivered from the pollutions of the world, they have been set free from the pollutions of the world, they have given their lives back over to the Lord, through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Matthew chapter 12. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. I need you to see this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with the wicked generation. This is in direct reference to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, after they have been delivered, after that unclean spirit's been cast out, and they've escaped through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. That's what Jesus was saying right here. When a person goes through deliverance, the unclean spirit is cast out. Let me tell you, he's not going to give up on you. A spirit of addiction is not going to give up on you. The spirit of adultery is not going to give up on you. The spirit of anger is not going to give up on you. Hatred, rage, it doesn't give up on you. He's coming back. When he's cast out, he's still coming back. He's still going to try to get back in. And here Jesus was saying that he will come back. He says right here in verse 44, then he says, I will return to my house. You see, he doesn't give up on you. He doesn't say, oh, I guess I don't have the deed to that property anymore. He's still saying, that's my house. You kick me out, I'm coming back in. And if you have not filled that house, because see, it says here, Jesus said he comes back, and what did he find it? He found it empty. Say empty.
Empty.
And he found it swept. Say swept.
Swept.
And he found it put in order. Say put in order.
Put in order.
But it was empty. And he came back in and he invited seven of his brothers along with him. And it says here that the state of the man was worse than it was to begin with. And why did that happen? It's because when that spirit was cast out, the person did nothing to fill himself back up. You're going to be filled with something. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be filled with something. You're going to be filled with the things of the Lord, or you're going to be filled with the things of the world. You're going to be filled with the things of God, or you're going to be filled with things of Satan. Most of us would not. Oh, I'm not filled with the things of Satan. Hey, well, what do you watch on TV? What do? What do you spend all your time in? What do you read? What do you think about? You know, all of these things are tell you what you're filled with.
Right.
What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you get up in the morning? Is it, I'm going to shoot that alarm clock? Is it like, oh, Lord, it's morning. Or do you get up saying, Lord, you've given me a new day.
New day.
Hallelujah. I'm having a hard time waking up.
Yes.
I lay in bed, that alarm clock goes off. And I always say, Kathy, time to get up. I just lay there. She gets up. I'll look at it. It's usually like at 7 o'clock. And I'll look, and it's 5 after 7, I think. Well, Lord, I think I better get up. And I get up, okay? But I get up going, hallelujah. I've got a new day. And you know the first thing that I do? You might think, oh, you're a pastor. The first thing you do is you just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No, I don't. You know the first thing I do is I go find my wife and give her a kiss.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Remember I said that, Kathy? No. That really is the first thing I do is find her and give her a kiss. And I let the cats out of the room and feed them. And all the time I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. Because I don't want to even start a day without Him being the center of it. The unclean spirit came and found his house swept clean, empty, and put in order. And he decided to have a party. Listen to me, please. If you've been delivered from something, raise your hand if you've been delivered from anything. You've been delivered. All right, some of you are raising two hands. Some of you could probably go like this. Now, let me ask you this question. The things that you've been delivered from, have they become a temptation again? Raise your hand if that's true. Yeah, oh, both hands go up. Yeah. Why? Because Satan, that demon, or those demons, have not let go of you. They still claim you as theirs. But they're not. You belong to the Lord if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Last scripture. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6. And this is a scripture that many pastors just do not want to go to. But I kind of have to, because the last verse, last two verses in 2 Peter chapter 2 says, for it would have been better for them not to have been known the way of righteousness, and then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed her wallowing of the mire. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 4, and listen to this because this is vital, vitally important. I am not one that believes once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. I used to believe that, but I do not believe. The more I see in the scriptures, the more I see that my walk with the Lord, I can cancel it out. And I can return back to the vomit, back to the wallowing of the mire. In verse 4, these are very important for us to understand. Chapter 6, verse 4 of Hebrews. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those who by whom it is cultivated receive blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. I'm not saying that that verse, that passage is saying that if you fall, you sin again, that you're God's done with you. That's not what it's saying. What that is saying there is if you have tasted the heavenly gift, you have been born again, you've the Word of God has become vital to you, and then you turn from it. You turn from it all and you walk away. I am not doing that anymore. I'm not having anything to do with that anymore. I am done with it. I do not know of but maybe one or two people that I've known in my whole life that have actually got to the place where I would say maybe they can't be saved. That they have turned and made the choice, this is the way I'm living, that's the way it is. Somebody who was a godly man, walked in the ways of the Lord, and now has turned his back on him completely and has said, leave me alone, I'm done with you. That's a dangerous place to be. Because God's word doesn't lie. And it says, if you tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if ye fall away to renew them again to repentance, my goodness gracious, please. You may fall to a temptation. And I'm not going to say that's okay, because that's not okay. I fall to temptation. But I cannot allow myself to get to the place where I say, God, I don't need you anymore. I don't want you anymore. When I fall to temptation, what that should do is drive me to the foot of the cross.
That's right.
That I push those temptations out of the way, and I come up to the foot of the cross. I come to the feet of Jesus, and I say, Jesus, I need you more now than I ever have before. And it is the false prophets and it's the false teachers that will tell you that there's no real power in the cross. It's those false teachers, those false prophets that infiltrate the church to try and dissipate the power of God. When it is the power of God that has delivered you out of darkness and placed you in His marvelous light. Amen?
Amen.
The hour is late.
You've got a scripture. I really wish you would read it. It's 8. 2 Peter 8. But it talks about people camping.
2 Peter 8?
The one you were just in. 2 Peter Chapter 2, verse 8.
Yeah, well, that was last week. We had covered that. All right. There's so much that can get in. We could be here for the next 3 hours. Is that okay with you? Okay, we'll take a break and come back in. I'll preach some more. The point here, though, is that God doesn't want anybody to return to their own vomit. He doesn't want anybody to return to the wallowing in the mire. He wants you clean. He wants you shiny. Yes. He wants you walking with Him in the cool of the day.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much that you have put all of this in your word for us to understand so that we're not tempted by the enemy and drawn away from you, Lord. Father, I pray that even when we sin, we will be quick to come to you and confess our sin, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise you for that, Lord. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that's not received you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there's anyone here today, Lord, or listening online, that have walked away from you and want to renew their walk with you, Lord, that they would do that now. Thank you, Father. So, church, I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to ask that you can pray along with me. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as Lord, or if you need to rededicate your life, then pray along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess my sins to you. I ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior right now. I dedicate my life to you and you alone. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with hope. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I receive you now as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you prayed it to renew your walk with the Lord, would you be brave enough to raise your hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Two. Any more? God is good. All the time. Hallelujah. All right. You online, if you prayed that prayer, we got a Bible for you. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll get you one. All right? But you give me, call me or text me or email me and give me your name and address, and I will mail you a nice brand new Bible. All right? Let's stand. We're going to close with a song. All right. Praise God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray a blessing, Lord God, of each person here to be an intercessor and to have intercessors in their life, that we will together as a church, as a body of believers, we will stand strong in you together and in the power of your might. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, come on up.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by every stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. His name forevermore, for endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of I will rise among eyes fixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name.